Fred at School Show. Fred at School Show.
Hello, hello. This is Fred Film Radio for the second international episode of Fred at School. This beautiful and innovative project that has, of course, a great potential because it enhances film literacies among young audiences, something that should be essential, should be in every school, but it is not. And therefore, Fred is trying to push it over and create a pan-European discourse. In fact, we have 8 countries participating altogether. And thanks to Lux Prize shortlisted films, we're going to show such films in 4 different parts. We already have the second kind of screening. Each country will create their own reception of it, and therefore we are now to talk about Academia Platonos. But before actually dwelling into the beautiful depths of like students' reviews, I want to start with a sort of conservative one. So let's hear a classic review of Academia Platonos.
Academia Platonos is a district located to the northwest of the center of the Greek capital Athens. This area took its name from Plato's Academy. It is densely populated with people who mostly live in very large, low, two-story buildings. This is the setting for the film Academia Platonos, written and directed by the Greek Philippos Zitos. The film, screened at the Locarno Film Festival in 2009, is centered on the key issue of the intercultural tensions that are soaring in contemporary Greece, precisely at the time when international public opinion began to become aware of the economic crisis. Presented in the form of a comedy, the film tells the story of the owners of 4 little stores who open the shutters of their shops every day and sit together drinking and making racist comments about the Chinese and Albanian workers on the construction sites nearby. The mother of one of them, who suffers from severe amnesia, introduces a second key issue in the story, that of memory and the ability to recast the past in the light of the present. Whereas, in the Academy of Philosophy inspired by Plato, idealism and the world order were discussed, in the suburban square of Academia Platonos, the descendants of ancient Greek culture drink, play football, and insult immigrants. This ironic depiction emphasizes the contrast between the exchanges of xenophobic remarks and the ancient Platonic dialogues on collectivism and the construction of ideal cities.
And here we are back again. I am Nicola Cobotti. I don't think I should introduce myself, but here I am. And now, actually, I have to introduce another very special guest because, as I said, this was the very conservative clip. Now I want to get into the real deal. And Iliana Zakopolo, yes, that Iliana, the head of promotion of the Greek Film Center, really kindly actually gave us the opportunity to talk to Lisa Inadu, the promotions coordinator, promotions festival coordinator of Greek Film Center. Lisa is here with us today, and we're going to talk about Academia Platonos. Welcome, Lisa. Thank you for being with us. So if you just tell me a bit about the inception of the film, because I know that the Greek Film Center was incredibly close to this this product, Academia Platonos.
Yes, it was very close to from the very beginning, and even now, you know, at the stage of pre-production. And they backed the film throughout the whole process. And, of course, when it was finally out in Locarno. And most importantly, because many of the films, you know, they stopped the collaboration after the production, we were very close for the promotion as well. All the festivals that the film went to, most of them, which are about 120, went through the Greek Film Center.
Exactly. I mean, Greek Film Center is a fantastic, fantastic institution because not only, as you said, does it follow films, let's say, in the sales department, let's call it like that, and it kind of like, you know, takes them under its wings for the big festivals, but also sometimes it co-produces them. And in fact, this is the case for Academia Platonos. Do you think that is sort of like this approach to as actually a national institution for filmmaking should be widespread in Europe, or do you think that you kind of, you know, you cherish this Greekness in the and this particularity in the Greek Film Center, and you kind of want to just keep it, you know, your national way?
Sorry, you mean that if we
the same approach of the Greek Film Center, you think you should be actually widespread, because it's not actually common that you have like the film centers, national film centers, being so close and so so attached to the films that they make, so not only in sales and, you know, to provide them with the right exposure, but also in co-production.
It depends on the producer as well. We're always open to back the films through all stages, but it really depends on the producers. And as you probably know, many films have been going through for the past years with sales agents attached, but we're always very open to back them as well and to collaborate with the sales agents. But Plavis Academy was a very specific case because it went very naturally and throughout, and we kept working on that as well. It's not very common, but it happens, and we're open to that.
Great. And I wanted to talk about, you know, it's a bit far away because, you know, of course, the first screening was in 2009. But the reception of the film, both in a festival kind of circuit and also once it got distributed, both nationally and internationally. If you can just give me a sort of like summary of it.
Well, given the demands after so many years, we can say that it's highly appreciated because they still ask for the film. Even now, this month, it's being screened in Russia, I think, in a European Union Film Festival. And it has been, which was good for the film, I mean, all this circulation, because it was translated in several languages, and now it has a chance to be translated as well through Fred Springfield School. And I mean, the audience was embraced the film both internationally and in Greece, where it had relatively high admissions. It was about 60,000, which for our small market is very good.
That's fantastic, exactly. And I'm very glad also that you mentioned the accessibility of the film. So also the chances to be seen in original language and with subtitles. And that's also one of the main priorities of our project, Fred at School, to actually enhance this sort of way of seeing film as less filtered as possible for also young audiences. And I think that also the way the Academia Platonos works, even for younger audiences, is the fact that it's still very relevant up to these days. Even after 6 years, we still live in a sort of limbo, you know, as the film starts and ends in a sort of like constant cycle. It still seems that it's the same right now. So I just wanted to see, actually, I just want to hear from you if you think that back then in 2009, when you actually embarked on this project, you would think that the film is still so well received because it's still so relevant, it's so poignant for right now, 2015.
Well, as you know, it's a board of directors that always, you know, approves the projects. But we felt like we were not sure that we couldn't imagine that it would still be today, up to date, 6 years later, to be honest. We thought that, you know, but Philippos Tsitos has a very specific and universal, you know, point of view. And he's always up to date. I mean, even with his next project, his next film, The Unfair World, which was in 2011, it still travels a lot. So it has to do a lot with the style and the means that the director uses.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And from your perspective as well, just to wrap up this conversation, how do you think can you pinpoint a way to collect all the, you know, the Greek productions right now from, let's call it like Academia Platonos in 2009 as a starting point. Mm-hmm. So from then up to today, we had a few different, you know, the same year, of course, there was Dogtooth. And then, some years later in 2013, we have Miss Violence, which was a big shift in the idea for, especially from an outside audience to perceive Greek perspectives. Let's call it like that. But of course, there's so much more, so many more films that we should know and we should watch about Greek cinema. So how would you describe in this little lapse of time of 6 years, how healthy it is Greek cinema right now for you?
Well, for a couple of years, there were several directors that tried to follow, you know, one certain path, what they called, say, Greek, the weird wave, which was something, you know, which was not something broadly accepted. I mean, it was something, you know, to facilitate journalists and press and, you know, and the market, of course. But this is not only the case. There were some, you know, there was this tendency. But the good thing in Greek cinematography is that there are several, you know, several directors. Each one follows his own path and has his own way of expressing himself. Of the common ground is that they have all, you know, experienced the same situation in this country and abroad, of course, because most of them have studied abroad or have lived abroad for a while. So the common thing is that they have experienced this and tried to express it through different, totally different ways. For instance, last year there was in Amsterdam, Guy in Cannes, there was Xenia by Panos Kutras. Mm-hmm. And this year, of course, after the 2009, as you know, there is Lanthimos once again with the lobster. But in the meantime, there was Avranas with Miss Violence, of course, and there were several different. Each one follows, say, in a first level, you can tell that follows his own ways of expressing himself.
Of course.
So, which is very healthy and. It's not. It's preferable to, you know, not to put everything under one label.
That's probably the best thing. It also probably that's the best and most universal description about European cinema. You cannot actually describe European cinema, let alone national cinemas. So thank you very much, Lisa, for having this beautiful conversation with us here at Fred at School and always on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. And before I leave you for a short break, let's hear actually the students' review of Academia Platonos.
Welcome to our show.
We are happy to present you our sum up of the movie L'Académie de Platon.
The movie deals with several themes such as racism, economic crisis and the protagonist identity.
It was a good movie, encouraged me to think about the theme.
It was okay, I guess.
The film was very interesting, especially the plot was intriguing, but it was a little bit sad.
The film was great.
I didn't like the movie because some parts were unrelated, so it was difficult to understand everything.
The film is kind of funny. The characters are amazing. By provoking us with a subversive representation of cliché, it tries to make us smile. Oh yeah.
Personally, it's adult humor. People my age laugh at sexual innuendos and people falling over.
Some of them liked the movie and some were not too enthusiastic, but one is for sure. Racism and discrimination themes made us think about those problems.
Fred at School Show.
Hello, welcome back, Fred Film Radio. This is always Niccolò Comotti for Fred at School, this beautiful pan-European project. And now, with this beautiful slot, I have two very wonderful people, one from Spain, one from Romania. Gonzalo Suarez, Spanish coordinator, and Codruta Barb, Romanian coordinator. How are you?
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Nicola.
I'm really good. Thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's a bit grey in the land of London. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, this is the beauty of this technological kind of conversation. Maybe you have some sunshine right there. But
yeah, we have some.
We do.
The weather is not important, because what I want to hear is facts. No, I just let's of course talk about Academia Platonos, the beautiful film by Filippos Tsitos. You guys have been part of this project, of course. In Romanian and Spanish kids have seen it, and I just want to give you the word and just tell me how your report is. So let's call it this beautiful and bureaucratic word, the report. Just tell me how the kids kind of reacted to that, the main perceptions. Bear in mind that I already know a bit about it, so I can always...
Okay, so you have some info, inside
exactly.
info. Huh?
So yeah, let's start with Codruta.
Okay, so in here the kids were like half and half, so... I mean by this, the idea that, you know, I have kids from different specialties in high school. So there were kids who were from arts high school. So they were mainly interested in how the film was made and the artistic choices and, you know, stuff like that. And I have kids from theory high schools that they do mainly all kinds of subjects who are... mostly like those from the sports high school, interested in the action, in the story, in the characters, yes. You know? So they've seen the movies from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. We had kids who were saying, okay, this is amazing because of the subject. You know, as we live in the Balkans, we are kind of familiar with the cultural differences and stuff like that. So they tended to make a comparison between what happens in Greece and what happens in here and in other neighborhood countries. And other kids saw it like, okay, it was a bit slow from their point of view, but the subject was good and they kept on seeing it because they wanted to know how the story ends and which is the catch, you know?
Of course.
Yeah.
And what about you, Gonzalo?
Well, yeah. I think Rita was really she was really lucky when she got like half, because actually one of the audience from the school, the teacher actually asked the students, "Do you like it?" There were just two people who liked it. 16 students didn't.
Oh wow!
So the main perception was that the film was mainly boring, and it didn't quite much catch their attention. So what I found really interesting was that. When they get to see a film that they normally or on average they don't like it, what they do is they just try to identify two characters that they get familiar with, either characters or topics. Like for example, immigration or integration between different people from different countries, that speaks to them. And we have that same situation here in Spain, just changing the nationalities. That on one hand, on the other hand, you will find also some students that. Again, even though they didn't like it, they tried to identify two characters that were more kind to them or were more funny, like mainly the dog.
Yeah,
it was really funny. directly barking to people from other countries, and the grandmother, because it strongly reminded them about their own grandmothers. So those are the two main issues that I found common. From all the different schools that take part in the project from Spain.
It is very true, actually. It's very interesting what you just highlighted, because it was a very, let's call it like a variegated appreciation of the film. You know, it varied from boring and static to actually very emotional and really, really intelligent film. But all in all, even from let's call it the retractors, they always noticed directly the themes, you know, the themes and the characters, as you said, the characters are probably with the staticness of the film, the characters also emerge. And in fact, we can hear a little clip, perhaps, that so we can hear directly the students and hearing what they say about it.
Characters are so racist and horrible, it becomes funny and stupid. Stavros is in a situation in which he must ask himself, who am I?
The main character is not happy with his life. There is not just one problem, but more of them. He is often in very depressive mood.
But the actors were great. I would like to talk about the mother. She's moving because all along the film she seems to be lost, but when her son comes back, she's alive. However, she dies in peace sometime later.
I love that wrap up. However, she dies in peace.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you can see, you know, like, those people actually were saying that the film sometimes was too slow, too static. There was not, the narrative was kind of like staying there. Nothing seems not to change. But as you said, Gonzalo, they actually made them, starting analyzing the film in a more sort of rational way, or in terms of, film literacy, into dissecting the film. So you have a lot of, you know, the character development and the cinema language. And that's, I think that's actually really interesting as a result. The fact that actually not, the film appreciation becomes secondary, and therefore, the minds of the students have to make something up, have to find something to actually say and elaborate.
Yeah, they definitely, get to understand the film, even if they don't like it. Mm-hmm. But from my point of view, at least as far as the Spanish schools are concerned, I don't think that they have a deep sense of film literacy. What they get is that it's just the development of the characters and the topics of the film, but they don't manage to identify the different aspects of filmmaking. Like, they're not very conscious about what filmmaking still is. While, as for example, what Kodrytsa said, apparently her students did manage to get to identify how the film is made and what the cinema language is in itself, even in a film that, you know, that had different appreciations by the students.
Yeah, and Kodrytsa, what do you think actually were the main things that your students managed to get grasp from a cinema language perspective?
Well, the students from the arts high school, they were the most interested in this type of things. And mostly we talked about at the end of the movie, you know, in the discussion, they were interested in the symbols that the director used in the movie, how he chose to put those symbols in that static motion, but still made them obvious for those who knew what to watch and what to search for. Also, they were like amazed with the fact that, okay, you can tell a story in a slow or fast moving pace, but still, I don't know, if it's slow, they said, like Gonzalo said, they could be, or they could pay more attention to the characters and what exactly did the director wanted to show through his movie. Well, opposed with the fast-pacing movies, you know, the action types, where only they can pay attention to the action and not that much to the characters and the story in itself, you know?
Of course. Of
the course. Action moves so fast that you can pay attention to every single detail, but in here, in this case, they could do that, and they were like very happy to get to know the things, but slower, and actually keep thinking about them, you know, afterwards.
Yeah. I'm actually very intrigued by this sort of back-to-back between Romania and Spain, because the visuals of the students seem almost polarized a bit. But, you know, with two films that we've watched and two films to go, do you think that this sort of this understanding, this literacy about grasping the symbols, as Kodrytsa said, or just finding and appreciating how a film it's done rather than what it depicts, it comes with quantity? So, like, it's just about how many films you watch. Or there's also a need to sort of in a formal way, an actual education about the film literacy. What do you think?
In my opinion, it's both. I would say not quantity, but just getting used to this kind of language, which is completely different from action movies. They in the clips from Spanish schools, they keep saying that these films are completely different from the films they used to watch. They keep saying that they are not used to watch films with subtitles. So I don't think it's a matter of quantity, but of just getting used to this new way of communicating through cinema, which just they didn't know before.
And you, Kodrytsa, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the same as Gonzalo said. Even if, you know, in Romania we are used with the subtitles and we have no problem with that. But what we are used mostly is like in Spain with the action movies, the movies from Hollywood, you know, blockbusters and stuff. So when the kids got to see European movies, it was a difference. I saw that in the first movie when they said, okay, this is different from what we know and from what we know of how the movies are made, you know. And they actually were very interested in the materials offered by Fred at school, you know, about movie making and how the directors choose what the subjects are and stuff like that. And after they read the materials and they saw the first movie, they said, okay, we like it, so we want more. So, you know, it was like getting to know the subject and the different way in which a movie can be made, but still loving the movie and the idea. Mm-hmm. Kind of, this is what I've noticed from my students.
Fantastic. And I'm glad actually that this has come to arise, because this is pretty much the sense of the project, bringing the attention to film literacy, because in a world that is pretty much solely based on screens and visuals, it's also time for everybody to understand how we've been told things and how we should perceive them as well accordingly. I thank you very much, you two, Gonzalo and Codruta, for being with me, and it was a very, very pleasant conversation. Of course, I'm going to see you for the next film, and so you stay in touch and always do be good with the reports, because I'm going to check if you did the homework, and I'll see you very soon. So thank you again, and stay always in tune with Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Thank you as well. Bye.
Thank you, Nicola.
Fred at School Show.
Fred Film Radio, we're back. We're back for Fred at School. And this is going to be a very interesting little panel, because I have not one, not two, not three, but four beautiful guests. And these are Benedict Pro, Nick Walker, Odny Sen, and Simone Moraldi, respectively the French, UK, Icelandic, and Italian coordinators. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
All right, before we actually, this becomes a sort of little row and voices overlapping each other, maybe some insults slipping in, I'll just start with a very simple, actually no, pretty messy clip, and then we start from there. And this clip is the recurring words used by the students to describe Academia Platonos.
Sad, racism, silence, funny,
slow, music, football and drinking,
not action,
fun at some parts and boring,
different colors,
discrimination, xenophobia,
it's very complicated,
lightning,
static,
intercultural,
serious,
boring,
yeah, it was strange.
All right, pretty, let's say, a variegated kind of use of words. I'll just start probably from Benedict, because I remember that one of the schools, actually, the Pablo Picasso, had this beautiful little idea of doing this sort of machine gun word little exercise. And I thought it was great. I thought it was great. That was kind of the imprint for this little clip.
Yeah, they were so creative.
How do you think, I'll just ask you something kind of specific, especially from your experience as French coordinator, what really struck you? Maybe some sort of analysis of some students that you would not have expected, but they saw the film in that particular way or light.
All right, so this is not going to be a general observation. No, sometimes they notice things that that are there that we've seen that seem more secondary. Like, for instance, the role of the ex-wife of Stavros, the main character. You know, they talked a lot, most of them talked about racism, but some of them actually noticed that there was also an element of discussion about sexism and the place of women in Greek society through especially the character of the wife, which kind of complements what the character of the mother seems to say about the place of women in this society. So this, for instance, was an aspect that I did not consider so much as they did.
Fantastic. Nick, actually, regarding the UK kind of panorama, I remember that especially for the first film, Illegal, there was still a sort of that obstacle of the subtitles. I was just wondering, like, after your report and listening to what the students said, if that started already to kind of like be in not in the spotlight anymore, but actually in the background, because they started to kind of getting used to words on screen, and maybe they had a more sort of more attention towards what they were looking at, rather than just having struggles in the way they were looking at things.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think the language is really a factor at all in the second feature. There were other things as well. I think they found perhaps the film to be a little bit old for themselves. They didn't really feel that it was necessarily engaged with them as much as possible, as it might have done. But language really wasn't a factor. They really... The idea that they were subtitles and that they were, that was a challenge for them, just didn't seem to feature the second time around at all.
Fantastic. And actually, linking to that, because you're right, in a way, I also listened to the clips and all the interventions of the UK students, and they were sort of, it was a sort of homogeneous kind of approach to the film. They didn't really like it, let's say so.
No.
Whereas actually the Italian ones, Simone, they were really spanning from, well, this is boring, to great film. But always were very, I mean, it seems like that the Italian students are really, are kind of literate already regarding films. They really go into details. They kind of like sort of dissect the cinema language. Were you expecting that, especially seeing the very different backgrounds of each single school? So from the professional kind of schools to the lyceums.
Well, in fact, there are several types of schools involved in project, and there are several fine arts high school. In Italy, there is a specific curriculum in secondary upper school for film and audiovisual. So those students, and there are several schools in the project that come from this curriculum, and those people, those guys are already quite literate about film literacy and about film language. So there is a quite high quality degree of analysis by my side, even more than in illegal clips, because in this film suggested to all the children and pupils, the young people, the young audience of the project, something more specific about film language, also making a comparison from the between the first film and the second film. And furthermore, there are those kind of schools, and there are several schools from some regions in which there are stable projects of film literacy that already operated in those schools. That's the reason why they made such a quite good observation about film language.
Great, great. And just to finish a little round, with, of course, with Odni, I simply love listening to the clips sent by the Icelandic students. They really, I can really sense that in Iceland, they really flipped the classroom. You know, they have total control of the microphone, and I really don't sense any kind of teacher saying, telling them what to say. Did you notice anything in particular that kind of really struck you as well, Odni? Because they are, I mean, they sound incredibly free, and I love listening to them. And maybe also this freedom allows to find new different ways to look at the film itself.
Yes, I think it's very interesting because we don't have a lot of immigrants in Iceland. I mean, we have a little more now than we had 10 years ago, definitely, but this is something which is new to the students. And they haven't been watching films about this problem. So they were struck by the racism in the movie. So for them, and especially in the rural areas of Iceland, you know, the really isolated areas, I found them even sort of making more interesting observations than in Reykjavik, like in one of the isolated areas schools, they observed that the dog in the film always barks when Albanians walk past, and they were wondering how on earth they could make how the dog could find out who was Albanian or not. and it's sort of comments like these I really like.
No, exactly. That's the thing. It's very interesting to, you know, one of the most interesting parts of this project is this sort of constant constant comparison, and you get to also think about what is Europe, you know, from that kind of perspective, because from Southern Europe you have maybe sadly, but kids really picked up the racist undertones instantly, and they were kind of dissecting it. The UK, for example, and as you said, Iceland, instead, it was sort of like they were looking at different things. They were more sort of, there was this sort of naivety, not knowing about Greece and not knowing about poverty. Do you think that is due to just a simple amount of, like, you know, interest in current news or information, or is something else? Is something that maybe, like, still the concept of Northern Europe is still the good Europe and Southern Europe is still the bad Europe that needs to, you know, catch up?
Well, what I found interesting as well was that they really feel, you know, that everybody should like each other and there shouldn't be any racism. And this is what I find in the schools. This is what they sort of, this is the conclusion. They feel it shouldn't be like this, and they don't understand why the Greek had this racism against Albanians. They just couldn't understand.
Yeah, I'd echo that as well. I think it's the students are really fascinated by the film in a way because of its multicultural aspect, and the racism was discussed afterwards and obviously disapproved of, quite rightly. But also there was this idea that they'd looked at Greece in the news, but also the representation prior to that Greece had was probably a more brighter, colourful, almost a holiday destination. Yeah. And then the film had a very understated, almost muted, sort of duller palette about it. And obviously the issues in the film are much darker. So it brought that cultural representation of Greece more in line with what they're hearing in the news today. So that was really interesting at play there.
And just to conclude also a bit, let's pose a question to Simone and Benedict. Is, you know, we already, like, let's call it a second episode. So we had Illegal. Now we're talking about Academia Platonos. You already seen some sort of change in the approach of students of actually looking at films. I mean, by listening to all the clips, I did perceive already a more sort of encompassing look at the film. Even though they didn't like it, there's a lot that has been analyzed, so it goes much beyond the idea of, like, you know, good, bad, or 2 stars out of 5 or 4 out of 5 stars. And I just want to see, like, how do you see, especially maybe picking up a couple of schools, if you saw some sort of development or some sort of change into approaching film analysis and film viewing?
Well, in France, what I notice is that there's a phenomenon of distanciation. In fact, sometimes you can hear it happening in the clip itself. That is, in France too, like Nick said, happened in the UK. Lots of students found the film a bit boring, was the word that they used. But as they were explaining why it was boring, strangely, as they were lingering on the very mechanisms on which the film operates, they were finding out why the director made this choice. So it's funny how you can hear this distanciation happening. You can also, it happened also since the first experience, since the first round, already. And one thing that is funny too that I noticed quite consistently is that, between the French clip and the English clip, they seem to have to acquire more distance. In English. In French, they dare more, saying that it's a bit boring and to have more instinctive reactions. Mm-hmm. While I guess because they composed it more, because they thought about it more, there's already a shift in the way they express themselves about the film in English, which is quite interesting. So in English, they found the film greater than they did in French, where they sort of found it a bit boring, a bit slow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
I agree with Benedict, because this film was completely different from Illegal, because Illegal is a very straightforward film, let's say. It's very strong and very hard film. But in this film is completely different. It's more symbolic, allegorical. So it was hard at the very first glance for students to get into the film, because they, at the very first moment, they were bored and they didn't like the film, and teachers told me they didn't like the film and so on. But looking at their comments that developed in about 1 week or 10 days, that was the time they had to make the clips, something changed, because I had the impression that they needed to take some time to get into the film, to make an analysis and make, like Benedict said, a sort of distanciation from the film. And at the end of all the work, all the clips they did, I think there is quite a higher level of analysis and an improvement of quality of their film literacy level respect to Illegal, because of this process. The film obliged them to make another process.
Mm-hmm. Very
well,
true.
In both cases, though, I have to say, Simone, I noticed that in Illegal, for instance, their first instinct was to perceive the film as being aggressive, as if it was at their expense, like aggressive against the viewer. And then they slowly moved on to it's aggressive for us. We suffer from it, that it's aggressive for a reason. This shows what is aggressivity. And this happened again in some way. They first found it boring, as if it was at their expense, and then started to dig into the reasons why it was and moved away from this, from what they initially perceived as being against them and, you know, imposed upon them.
It was also interesting in the UK, where some of the students said that they felt it was the relevance to age was important, because they'd chatted mm-hmm. to the teachers, and the teachers mm-hmm. really liked it. The teachers really loved the film, and they wondered why they liked it more. So, like you said, they had a little bit of a space for the second film. For Illegal, they commented fairly quickly on the film. For the second one, they had time to reflect a little bit. And I think one of the things was the protagonists in the film were a bit older in the second film, and the younger film, they could more relate to it. Actually, there's a common denominator with that. It was in the second film, football was the thing that brought people together, and it broke down barriers, so they could easily relate to that. So there was something they could grip hold of. So I don't think, even though they didn't actually still enjoy the film, even after a little bit of consideration about it, they were able to place it in a greater context and look at the representations and the sort of the racist elements to it, and even things like poverty and that kind of thing. So whilst the process was fascinating, the film itself wasn't really particularly enjoyed. But I think the students are really enjoying the journey as much as anything.
Very true. And yeah, I'm actually enjoying the journey as well, of seeing two different films, shown back to back. And then, of course, there's going to be the third one, It's Leap and Die. And that's also true that we're going to have a bit less time to analyze it, but maybe that will speed things up or once again bring something unexpected onto the table. But for now, I think we guys have to get back to work and analyze a bit more clips from the new film. And I thank you so much, all of you, Benedict, Nick, Odney and Simone, for being with us, and hope to talk to you very soon for the next episode.
Of course.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. And now we're just going to stop for a second for a little break, but stay with us for the last little bit of our international program for Fred is Cool here at Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred at School Show.
Hello, hello, Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Here is Niccolò Comotti for Fred at School. Fred at School, and today we have a very special guest. Actually, we have two very special guests. Let's start first, of course, from the ladies. Nela Gudeli, Croatian coordinator for Fred at School. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Kalimera. Dobar dan, or good morning to everybody.
Thank you very much. And also the special guest is the very director of Academia Platonos, Filippos Tsitos. Hi, Filippos.
Hello.
So, Filippos, thank you very much for linking with us in this very highly technological way, and it's a three-way conversation. I would actually just give you the chance to present your beautiful film from 2009, Academia Platonos, which is now actually part of the beautiful project Fred at School. And but first, I want to actually hear how your film got perceived all throughout this journey that started in 2009, and now we are actually in 2015. So if you just tell us a bit the inception of it, the first time that it got screened there for Locarno, and so forth. And then, of course, we're going to move on and tell you how the kids perceived it.
Thank you very much for the invitation, first of all. The film was very good received. Between you and me, it was my only big commercial success up to now, because we had a very good reception in Greece and a very good reception in Germany, where it has been shown.
Fantastic. And the way they actually, for example, in all the times that you've been, especially with festival kind of screenings, there's a lot to be done about Q&As. And I'm really interested to hear if you still remember something or some sort of little anecdotes about weird questions or weird perceptions of the film or different interpretations of the film that you would never expect.
Well, actually not. I think that most of the people recognize the problems of this latent racism in the society. I mean, not the militant racism, but the racism that is hidden in the soul of everybody. And this is what the film was about. And I think everybody in everywhere in the world recognized this. So the film hasn't been misunderstood, if you know what I mean.
Definitely, definitely. And also, actually, I'm going to link with this directly to Nella, because yes. I also heard the beautiful reviews from the Croatian schools, and I think they were the most receptive. I was very, very, very impressed by how keen and very sensible the kids from Croatia, from the different schools, such as the Oreovic or the Dubrava, they really nailed it for me, but from a kind of adult way. And I actually wanted to hear, Nela, how you've seen it as Croatian coordinator, and also if you want to ask anything directly to Filippos about your thoughts regarding the film and how the kids perceived it.
Great, thank you very much for this opportunity. And this was a kind of a surprise for me too, in a positive way, the way the kids reacted. I have to say they were really emotionally touched, and their reaction and responses were above my expectations. So sometimes we don't take these kids as serious as they deserve. That's a lesson that we learned as well in a positive way. So they reflected on it, and this was the first time with the Fred at school that they actually watched the films that made them really think deeper in something that is very real, that is going around them, that is something that is real life, and it is not just like a Hollywood whatever dream they're chasing, and then they have a clash with the reality. The reality is there, and the way they watched it and realized through film what was really revealing, not only to me but to my radio mentors. The radio mentors is the network we established here, because I do work for the Croatian Radio Television. This is our huge advantage as being a part of this project, a member of this project, that we have got the radio expertise in-house and a very enthusiastic team of people who had already started working with kids in some of the schools. One of these, I especially have to underline, are the kids from the school in Dubrava you mentioned, Nikos, because this is the school for kids with special needs. So they do have their own limitations, and they had to. And they do have to overcome it on a daily basis for the rest of their lives. So the effort they put in watching, the effort they put in realizing the show, the effort they put in producing it in English is tremendous. So I don't want to, you know, to be unfair to other kids anywhere in Croatia or in Europe, but I have to underline this dimension of these kids who invested a real effort in it, and they have been accompanied all the way through this journey and still will be by their radio mentor. So this is what made us, in a way, let's see, have this reception in a way that we did receive. And I have to thank via this channel, not only everybody in the Fred School who are involved, but especially my radio mentors. So if I might just to ask, if I can ask a direct question to Filippos.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, so Kalimera and Tikanite.
Calimera, hello.
Hello. This is everything that I do know, because I do have, I said that before you connected with us, I've got a colleague who works with me at HRT, who is of Greek origin, and her kid goes to one of the schools who has been, you know, in this project. So I just wanted to ask her to join us, but it was like all of a sudden for her. But anyway, she taught me these two words I do know, so I don't know anything further.
Very correct, the way you speak. Very correct. Congratulations.
So the question from me to you is, because I do come from Dalmatia myself, so we do often what we do in our lives. I do think, I might be wrong, that there is a lot of interference with what we were or where we were born or our then projections or what we would like to become. And in a way, this is a comedy, but I do seem to see a lot of very many layers in this comedy, and which in a way reflects your own journey from a world that you were born in to another world where you moved to, and your own career and development. Because I belong to this small world as well, by birth, and I do come from Dalmatia, from a very small village out there, and I'm, you know, I came to live in a big city. I didn't change the country, but in this city with the work, I did have a possibility to develop and to see my own world from where I came from a very different perspective. So in a way, I saw that in your film, and I would like to start from there. Is it true? Is this my perception? Is it true or not?
Well, of course, it was very, very decisive for my life, very important that I left my country, because I left my country when I was 25 and I came to Berlin to study and to work. And what I didn't expect is that I will start to research my own country and my own origin right then when I was away. And this is, I'm doing this the last 30 years, and every year I learn something new about the life I left in Greece. It's very, very important in the meanwhile for me to be abroad, and I learned, I started to the deep research from our origin when I was here, and I realized that as long as I was there, I was in Athens, I couldn't see clearly what is happening around me, and the picture got clear, crystal clear when I was away.
Mm-hmm. So this is in a way, that was the way to rise above your own horizons, let's say. When you are born, like me, I was born in a little corner, let's say. Then when you physically move away and geographically move away, and then when you merge into from a small society with its own values, which make you from the very beginning who you should be, and then you move away from that, and then you really do become what you want to become, and then you can seize that reality from where you were coming in a very different way. So this is very very interesting. So that dimension has shaped you in a way. The film that you did or have you done that you have done already, and especially in Platos Academy, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And to tell you the truth, when I imagine I wouldn't have left Greece. If I could have made the film the same way, I don't think so. I don't think so, because when you are living in the problem, you are part of the problem. You cannot have the distance to look at the problem, to analyze the problem, and to say something about it when you are inside it.
I completely agree, and I love actually the back to back right now. Actually, very good radio shows, guys. And I actually want to just link with what Filippo said. That he touched the concept of distance as the sort of realization of a rational realization of what's happened. But the distance as well can be kind of translated into the film itself, because we're speaking about Academia Platonos, which is 6 years old now, from 2009. Now is 2015. Now it's having a new kind of, like, breathing new life, because, you know, it's part of Fred's School. So eight countries, thousands of kids already have seen it, and they raise their horizons as well in terms of understanding of nationality, identity, and of course the very blurred lines in it. So I just want to, I want something very simple to wrap up this beautiful conversation. How's that feel? That a film that you made actually 6 years ago, that maybe sometimes you just say, you know, that was part of the past, but right now is the fruit and the subject of such a beautiful and pan-European project.
Oh, well, to tell you the truth, I had forgotten this, that film, because I have made another one in the meanwhile, and I'm preparing the next one. So it was a very, very nice surprise. I wouldn't expect that this this low-budget Greek film would last so many years.
Well, that's fantastic. And well, I thank you anyway, on behalf of Fred School, for making this film, because it was wonderfully received by eight countries, I must say. And
The
kids definitely got in touch with some people, especially the UK side, called it and labeled it adult humor. But all other kids, actually, many of them just really got in touch and were more emotionally involved in the characters and in the story. So hats off to have managed to communicate to such a broad audience. And I thank you again with my beautiful guests, Filippo Tsitos and Neila Gudeli, for here always at Fred at School.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed for this opportunity. And I thank you in person, the author of this film. This was really touching experience for me too, emotional. I shared it with the kids.
Well, I thank you very much both. It was a very nice surprise for me.
That's fantastic. Well, I hope to talk to you very soon, because I love this conversation. And always stay in touch on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred at School Show.
Fred Film Radio, we're back. Well, that was a very insightful program, I must say. We had a lot of different voices. We started from the bottom. Now we're here, as Drake would say. We started from the very inception of Academia Platonos, and then come in here 2015 with all the students from Fred's School project analyzing it and bringing to the table new and insightful ways to see it. I talked with my incredibly valuable collaborators, which are the whole Fred's School collaborators and coordinators. So for France, Benedict Plot, UK, Nick Walker, Iceland, Odin Sen, Spain, Gonzalo Suarez, Italy, Simone Morales, Romania, of course, Kodruta Barb, and Croatia, Nela Gudeli. That was very, very insightful. I really enjoyed our conversation. They highlighted things that I didn't actually notice when I listened to my clips and the students' analysis. I just also wanted to kind of add a couple of points that really struck me myself when I listened to them. One, for example, was the immediate and kind of almost encompassing approach to an understanding of silence. They really valued silence in the film as something as important, equally important, as the music involved. So if we need to work a bit on visual literacy, I think audio literacy is pretty good for us already. That's good also for radio news and for Fred Film Radio, you know, if you're going to look for new bright voices and bright minds. And another thing that really touched me was also the embracing on one school in Italy, the Liceo Porporato. They embraced also the lack of subtitles. We heard already that subtitles can kind of create some sort of friction into watching. But they embraced the absence of subtitles to kind of, as they said with their own words, they got emotionally involved with the Albanians, because they could not be comprehended. Not even the film could comprehend the Albanians. And that also, you know, highlights the empathy that can be really seen and perceived through filmmaking. So, as I said, Academia Platonos might have divided a lot of people. We start from, you know, really boring to really good film. But what it actually meant was that the students really got engaged with the content and with the art and with much more than that, with themselves as well. So I just wrap up, and I thank you very much for listening to us. And also, I have to, because I want to, thank all the official partners of Reddit School. So UAB, University of Barcelona from Spain, University of Roehampton, and University of Babes Bolyai from respectively UK and Romania. Ajaccio Torino, of course, from Italy. Les Amis du Cinéma du Réel from France, and the Icelandic Tofalamp in EHF, Festival de Cannes, but be careful about the spelling, is C-A-N-S from Spain, HRT, of course, from Croatia, Subti Limited from UK again, My Movies and Venice Days from Italy, Claudio Tomasini and Associates from Germany, and Subti Access from Italy again. Of course, I need to embrace and thank the sponsors, the Regione Autonoma della Sardegna, Sardegna Film Commission. And of course, I have to thank my own beautiful radio, which is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.